This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise is due to Allah who has revealed the scripture unto His servant and has made no crookedness therein. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to live in interesting times, as they say. One of the characteristics of our time, speaking specifically of this land that we reside in, is the despair that we see. And that despair can be measured by what collectively are referred to as the diseases of despair. Drug addiction, alcoholism, suicide, depression. In terms of drug addiction, just discarding other forms of drugs every day in this country, the 170 fatal overdoses from opioids alone, heroin, morphine, Percocet, OxyContin, the whole family of opioids, 170. And were it not for Narcan, which revives overdose victims, maybe it would be 800 a day. Because everyone fatally overdoses, 7 or 8 are revived who would otherwise fatally overdose. 241 alcohol consumption related deaths every day in this country. Just consumption, excluding alcohol related deaths. Most fatal fatalities from auto accidents, the majority are alcohol related. Most killings, domestic violence, are alcohol related. Not, maybe not most, a large percentage. Most alcohol, most traffic deaths, yes, but a large percentage. But excluding all of that, 241 who died from overconsumption of alcohol every day. 123 suicides every day. Almost 4,000 suicide attempts every day, which means what? There are far more. Because a lot of suicide attempts aren't reported to the authorities. That's what's reported. Increasingly large numbers of our children, who should be the most hopeful, find themselves dead as a result of suicide. Diseases of despair. Muslims, you see Muslims increasingly falling into many of these categories. Which indicates what? Indicates two things. Or one or two things or both. One or the other or both. One is ignorance of our religion. Ignorance of the religion. Because one who has knowledge of this religion understands this is the anti-despair or the antidote to despair. The anti-despair medicine. Or so ignorance of the religion or weakness of faith. Which means there might be knowledge of the religion, but that knowledge hasn't penetrated to the depths of the heart so that it affects the hearts in ways that insulates the individual from the ravages of despair. We should understand. Understanding is very important. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid din." The one Allah desires good for, He gives him or her a sound understanding of the religion. And we can mention the balance of the hadith because it has benefit in it. So it's related on Muawiyah. And Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, قال Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من يريد الله به خيرا يفكه في الدين. The one Allah desires good for, He gives him or her a sound understanding of the religion. وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمُ وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يُعْطِي. I dispense the revelation, it is Allah who gives understanding. So the Prophet gives it freely to everyone, but Allah causes those seeds that he spreads out to take root in some hearts. وَلَنْ تَزَالَ تَعِفَةٌ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ قَائِمَةً بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ لَا يَدُرُّهُمْ مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. And there will always remain from this community of believers a party, a group who will establish their affair on the basis of the commandment of Allah. And so what the Messenger of Allah is telling us is that understanding translates into action. And the foundation of our action is establishing our affair on the commandment of Allah. And as people are rejecting their traditional religious teachings, as people increasingly turn to atheism, and that's part and parcel of the crisis of despair. There's no coincidence that as atheism goes up, suicide goes up. Because atheism is telling a human being that you're no different from this rostrum, this minbar I'm standing on. You're no different than these walls. You're no different than a fly. You're no different than feces or urine. You're just physical stuff. And if a human being comes to believe that he or she is just physical stuff, there's no relationship to a higher power. There's nothing to hope for beyond the demise of this physical body. Why not commit suicide? Why not end it all? There's nothing beyond this to hope for. That's one of the reasons you see this upward trajectory. So the believers must hold on to the commandment of Allah. The believers must hold as lawful that which our Lord, through His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has declared to be lawful. And the believer must maintain and hold on to what our Lord, through His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, directly through revelation which came through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or through his sunnah, have declared to be unlawful. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنُهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. The lawful is unambiguously clear, and the unlawful is unambiguously clear, and between those two are doubtful matters. Most people don't know their rulings. There are people who want to make that which is unambiguously clear from the mutashabihat, and that which is in terms of its lawfulness, and that which is unambiguously clear in terms of its unlawfulness amongst the doubtful matters. Well, we need to reassess this. 1400 years of Islam and scholarship from some of the most brilliant minds to ever walk this planet couldn't figure out how Muslims are supposed to dress. 1400 years of scholarship with clear, unambiguous evidence, scriptural evidence, couldn't figure out who Muslims should go to bed with. We need to reassess. No, we need to adhere to the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger and die upon that and pass it on to our descendants. If we do that, we've done our job. And if we fail to do that, there are going to be more suicides. There's going to be more alcoholism. There's going to be more drug overdoses because people will be lost. And the prophets were sent to guide people. And this ummah, the scholars of this ummah, are the heirs of the prophets. And their communities are the community of believers in this world. وَلَنْ تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ قَائِمَةً بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They will establish their affair on the commandment of Allah. لَا يَدُرُّهُمْ مَّنْ خَلَفَهُمْ. They will not be harmed by those who oppose them. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. Until the command, second amr of Allah. And some scholars say it's the emergence of the Dajjal. Some scholars say it's the wind that will blow at the end of time and take the souls of the believers. Most scholars say is the doomsday, Yawm al-Qiyamah. They won't be harmed. So our task, brothers and sisters, if you want to be safe and you want to be sound, make sure you're in that group. And Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he says it could be one group in one place, but most likely it is many groups. There's some here, there's some there. There's some in America. There's some in Africa. There's some in Asia. There's some in Europe. And this is a source of mercy, not just for us, but for the world. As we said, the world, this country, and the world in general, being besieged by despair and hopelessness. We are the people of hope. Not foolish optimism, but the people of hope. We're the people of prophetic guidance. And prophetic guidance brings clarity. We're the people of mercy. One of the reasons a lot of Muslims are so downcast and gloom-struck in our day and times is because they believe the lies of people who profit from there being no source of hope for people. There are people that profit from that. They say, oh, you Muslims, you have no mercy and compassion in your heart. And Muslims start believing that. If you want to know no compassion, no compassion are people who would sell 9 million narcotic pills in a small town in Appalachia. Prescribe 9 million narcotics, knowing this is going to addict the entire population. Where's the mercy in that? And then the people are dropping like flies from overdoses. Where's the mercy in that? Where's the mercy in fabricating enemies for the sole purpose of feeding a war machine that's financed by $700 billion of our tax money to keep the factories making bombs? And so inventing enemies in this country to keep this machine of Islamic hate going. Their stealth jihad, they're taking over. Taking over what? Well, we don't stop to start, oh, yeah, you know, am I a stealth jihadist? I don't know. You know, it's in the air. It's what? Taking over what? Oh, the Muslim Brotherhood's taking over Congress and the Senate and our institution. Well, they're doing a terrible job. There are 535 congressmen and senators, 100 senators, 435 representatives. There are zero Muslim senators and one Muslim congressman. Zero out of 100 and one out of 435. And that's stealth jihad. That's a merciless scheme to demoralize the community, to villainize and demonize the community for the sole purpose of making money. Because they're financed by tens, hundreds of millions of dollars. It's an industry. Where's the mercy? Right now there's hurricane. The winds died down. But the rain is coming. And they have open lagoons of pig manure and pig fetuses and pig blood from these hog farms next to African American communities, poor people who can't go anywhere. And they're going to flood over. Even without flooding, they spray it in the air. It coats their houses. They can't breathe the air. People have respiratory problems, have to breathe that garbage. And the North Carolina legislator banned a bill that would even declare this a harmful practice. Where's the mercy in that? Where's the mercy in that? You go up and down the ledger, there's no mercy. There's total exploitation of people. They won't even give you a meal. You can fly on Ethiopian Airlines, one of the poorest countries in the world. You can fly from Addis Ababa to Harare. They give you a hot meal, hot towel to clean your hands with for a two-hour flight. You fly from New York City to Los Angeles, 5.5 hours. You're lucky if you get a bag of pretzels. Then when you land, or when you got on the plane, The skycap, the company's going to take their tips. Where's the mercy in all that? And they'll tell you, Muslim, you're not merciful? And then you believe it and get all demoralized. Stand up. Be proud to be a Muslim. Don't hang your head. Don't give those people the satisfaction of demoralizing you. Thieves and killers, hosts, the people, a lady, Beth Macy, wrote a book about this whole opioid epidemic recently. And the subtitle, The Company That Addicted America, Purdue Pharma, responsible for tens of thousands of dead Americans. And no one went to jail. Tens of thousands of dead people, millions of addicts, and two misdemeanor charges for false advertisement because they said this stuff isn't abusive. It's like pure morphine, repackaged. It's not abusive, 1% rate of abuse. And so when the abuse rate was almost 100%, oh, we're guilty, misdemeanor. On two of their executives, no one goes to jail. But all these little people, not selling heroin, selling marijuana on the street corner, are going to jail feeding this prison industrial complex. Where's the mercy in that? And you demoralize, believing your religion has no mercy. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Oh, my servants who have gone to excesses in terms of their abusing the rights of their soul. This is addressed to people who are idolaters. What does Allah say about the idolatry? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكُ لَهُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ لَهُ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah doesn't forgive that partners are joined with Him, but He forgives any sin other than that to whomsoever He pleases. But if that idolater repents, then Allah says, even if you are an idolater, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Allah forgives the idolater. Allah forgave the man who killed 100 people. Allah forgives people. One man came, and long story short, and mentioned his sin, and he couldn't do this, he couldn't do that. To atone the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started laughing and said, just scram, get out of here. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One, you sin is one against you. You sin is one against you. You do a good deed, الْحَسَنَاتُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. It's immediately multiplied 100 times. Excuse me, 10 times. إِلَى سَبْعِمِيَ دِعْثِ. 700 times. إِلَى عَدَاثٍ كَثِيرًا. 7,000, 70,000, 7 million. Allah is Rahim and Kareem. How hard do you have to work to go to hell if that's how things are reckoned? One sin is one against you. Even if you conspire to sin and then you leave it, then it's credited as a good deed. Leaving a bad deed is a good deed. You know, I'm going to do this and that. MashaAllah. And I get home, get dressed, I'm going to call up some, and I'm going to go visit and we're going to go out and astaghfirullah. That's totally haram. That's a good deed. You left the bad deed, it's a good deed. Tarki sayya hasana. Leaving the bad deed is a good deed. And so the cycle kicks in. Al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha. Il-sabi'mi'adith. How hard does one have to work to go to hell? This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgives all sins. What did you do? Just repent to Allah, and Allah will forgive you. Why you have no hope? Why do you have no? Why are you despairing of Allah's mercy? And if those are the odds, and if this is the mercy of Allah, then it's rightfully said, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. It's only a disbelieving people that despair of Allah's mercy. So believers, never despair of Allah's mercy. We should don't walk around here in a state of doom and gloom. Lift up your head. Smile in the face of your fellow believer. Smile in the face of everybody, the ordinary people. Spread peace, spread greetings of peace to people. Feed people. Ya Rasulullah, ayyul islami afdal. Qal an tuqri as-salam. أن تطعم الطعام وتقرأ السلام على من عرفت ومن لم تعرف. يا messenger of Allah, what is the best manifestation of Islam, most virtuous manifestation of Islam? That you feed people and greet people, those you know and those you don't know, you know not. With our sister, I don't know if she started back in the Rainbow Rec Center, just feeding people. That's one for 20-something years, every Saturday. It's one of the best manifestations of Islam. تُطْعِمَ الطَّعَامِ. And greet people, those you know and those you know not. Should be a greeting machine. Everyone you pass, Salaam alaikum, how you doing? أَهْلًا وَسَهْلًا وَمَرْحَبًا. What does that mean? That means, hey, you're welcome, you're like my family. Really? No one ever said that to me. So we Muslims, that's how we roll. Pick your head up. This is a beautiful religion. Don't despair. It's not a believing characteristic. It's a characteristic, as we said, people who have no faith. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Those are the people, unfortunately, falling into drugs, falling into despair, falling into suicide, falling into alcoholism. We're the antidote. We should be going to people. That's why they want to demoralize the Muslims. So we don't believe we have anything to offer anybody. Who wants to listen to us? They all think we're a bunch of terrorists. I'll tell you who wants to listen to you. Those hundreds of people every day who are taking their shahada. Who are taking their shahada every day all over this country. And they don't want to see that. But we have to organize ourselves to serve them. And deserve those people aren't Muslim. The sister feeding the people at the Rainbow Rec in East Oakland, most of those people aren't Muslim. But they're human beings and they have human needs. And we should be rising up and organizing ourselves to meet their needs. And don't let them politicize our religion. They want to politicize it so they can frame the discussion and frame the way that they present Islam to people. No, we have to spiritualize it. It's not a political struggle. And we, as Muslims, we do a disservice when we frame it like that. Because we're playing into their hands. It's a spiritual struggle. It's a struggle between truth and falsehood. It's a struggle between people who want to victimize and exploit and destroy people, and people who want to give them life and to give them hope and to give them direction. That's the struggle. And we have to keep it at that level because that's our strength. Everything else will take care of itself. The politics, the economics will take care of themselves. That will take care of itself. But if we become wrapped up into this political struggle that's been the parameters of which have been defined by the enemies of Islam, we'll never get to the spiritual, and the people will never get the hope, because in their mind they're looking at Islam through a frame that we as Muslims sometimes help to reinforce. We have to frame the issue along the lines that play into our strength. And when you have one congressman and zero senators, politics is not our strength. Hope you understand that. You can hoop and holler all you want. But when those are the odds, I'm not saying there's no politics in Islam. I'm saying that our struggle is a grassroots struggle. Our struggle is a struggle to save people. Our struggle is a struggle to give people hope. Our struggle is a struggle to inspire people. Our struggle is a struggle to put people back in touch with their humanity. And when that happens to tens and hundreds of thousands of people, to millions of people, everything else will take care of itself. May Allah give us tawfiq. اللهم أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم سأل المؤمنين يقوم استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Let me leave you with this verse, brothers and sisters. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ مَا يَجْمَعُونَ. Say to them, O Muhammad, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ, in the grace of Allah, وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ, and in His mercy, in this let them rejoice, is better than anything they can gather from this world. We should be a joyous people. Yeah, all this stuff is happening out there, Islamophobia and all this other stuff is happening, depression, suicide. We went through the whole gamut in the first khutbah. We still should be a joyous people because we have faith in our heart, because we have belief in the akhirah, because we know no matter how bad things get in this world, if we patiently persevere, if we struggle and we forge on, then we're opening the gates for unimaginable bliss for the rest of eternity. As-sa'adatul abadiyya, eternal bliss. And when we understand what eternity means, and we understand that everyone's life in this world will end, young or old, rich or poor, black or white, kullu nafsin da'ikatul maut, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Everyone is going to die. Everybody's going to die. And so our life really begins when we die. In the big scheme of things, in the greater scheme of things. And once we die, the gate is opened to eternity. This world is finite. Paradise and hell are eternal. خالدين فيها, dwelling therein forever. خالدين فيها أبدا, dwelling therein forever and ever. Either hellfire, not forever and ever for a believer, but who wants to experience a second of that? Or Jannah. That's what it's all about. And Allah Ta'ala, in giving us faith, has blessed us and placed us on a path to Jannah. We have to nurture our faith and cultivate our faith and rejoice in our faith. وَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا, let them rejoice in this. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ, it's better than anything anyone could gather from the world. What does it mean? Someone gets all the cars. They have the whole collection. They have their 1965 Mustang all the way up to their 2018 Tesla. They have the, and everything in between. They got the Rolls Royce, their Lamborghini, the Bugatti. You name it, they got it. They even got the Bugatti. They got the whole lineup. They have the whole residential lineup. They have their condo at Lake Merritt. They have their chateau in the Rocky Mountains in Aspen. They have their home in the Hamptons that they never get to. But they have the whole lineup, from the condo to the chateau to the house in the Hamptons. Check everything on the list. They got it. They have it. Wardrobe, they have it all. From the alligator shoes to whatever. Whatever you're supposed to have if you have money, they got it. And the house in the Hamptons, they have horses. They never ride the horses because they never get over there. But they got the horses too. They got the house and they got the horse. What does it mean if they don't have faith? What does it mean that as soon as they get the house with the horses and they've checked the final check, the final box on the list, they die? What does it mean? People are deceived into thinking all this means something. لَوْ تَعْدِلِ الدُّنْيَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُودَةٍ مَا سَقَى فِيهَا كَاثِرًا شُرْبَةَ مَاءٍ. If this world meant to Allah as much as a gnat's wing, you know how small a gnat is? If it meant a gnat's wing, He wouldn't have given an arrogant rejecter a single drop of water to drink. So Allah gives it freely to him. So every free, please, He gives it to the Muslim. He gives it to the person who's not a Muslim. He gives it to the rich. Of course He gives it to the rich. He gives it to the black. He gives it to the white. He gives it to those who come, who inherit it, and those who get it because they can throw a ball in a basket. He gives it freely to whom howsoever He pleases, but He only gives faith to those He loves. He only gives faith to those He loves. That's why the believer rejoices. وَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُهُ. May Allah give us faith that leads us to rejoice no matter what's happening in the world, because we can look beyond the world. We can look at something that transcends the world. We can look at something more valuable than the world and everything in it.